Let me invite you to open to Matthew chapter 14 this morning. You may say, well, that's where we were last week. You're right. That's where we are today as well. There's so much goodness in this passage that we just couldn't finish everything that we needed to finish. So we're going to be back there this morning, Matthew chapter 14, the passage where Jesus walks on the water. And Peter, by faith, when he's sinking, cries out, Lord, save me. Today, that might be the thing that you need to cry out for. You might need to be saying to the Lord this morning, Lord, save me. Maybe you feel like you're sinking in an area of your life. Maybe you don't feel like you're sinking, but you really are because you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Matthew chapter 14, as you turn there, let me just say a word to our guests. If you're a first-time guest, we are extremely glad that you're here, and we want to say welcome. We want to say we love you. We want to say that we hope that you not only feel welcome, but we hope that you sense the presence of a living God, because that is the one that we worship. That's the one that we pray to, a living Savior. And if you are a guest at the end of the service, can I please have the awesome privilege of meeting you? When you leave today, if you'll go out the doors and turn left, there's a place called the hospitality room. And we just like to hold you for just a moment there in that room and say hello to you. We won't hold you long. We won't keep you long. We just want to say hi. Hi, and thanks for being here. So if there's a card there in front of you, if you don't mind filling that out before you come, we would be so appreciative. Also, if you're new to the church, maybe not your first time, but you're new to the church, I want you to know about the Connection Center. It is a place where people go to do business with the Lord. It is a place where people go to pray. It's a place where people go to talk about what does it mean to have a relationship with God? What does it mean to follow Jesus? It's a place where people go and say, I'm a follower of Jesus. How do I get baptized? How do I follow the Lord's will for my life and get baptized? That's where we send people, to the Connection Center. And it's out that door to the left. It's out that door to the right. There's people there that are always ready to pray with you. But let's look together at Matthew chapter 14. And again, if you were here last week, this passage is not a surprise to you. It's what we looked at last week, but let's read it again together, starting in verse 22. It says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was alone, but the boat by this time was a long way away from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. Now, before we move on, let me just stop. It's not part of the message. I just want you to see some things about the identity of Jesus. First, I want you to see the authority of Jesus. He made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. Here's what I want you to understand. If you are a disciple, you are under the authority of Jesus. Jesus has the ability to say to you where it is that you need to be at and planted and serving and living, and that's for us to do. He is over us. It also says that he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. The second thing I want you to understand about the identity of Jesus is that prayer was important to him, and so if it's important to him, it should be important to us. And the third thing I want you to know about Jesus is he absolutely does miracles. It says, in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. And they said, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. Some of you need to hear the Lord speak that into your life this morning. You may not literally be on a boat, and you may not literally be in the middle of a storm, but in life, you may be being beaten around by the waves of life and by the winds of life. And maybe this morning, you just need to hear, not me, but the Lord speak this into your heart. Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. I want you to know that the Lord hasn't given up on you. The Lord is not forgotten about you. And it seems like at the most difficult moments of our lives is when the Lord speaks to us, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. And so Peter spoke out to him. If you know anything about the disciples, you'll know that Peter was always the one that was ready to speak. He was always the one to speak out when Jesus was asking questions or doing something amazing. So Peter's the first one to speak, and he says, Lord, if it is you, command me to come out to you on the water. That's pretty brave. That's pretty brave. Lord, if it is you, command me to come out on the water and walk out to you. And so in verse 29, Jesus said, come. And here's another sidebar. I know that I'm full of sidebars already. We're not 5 minutes into it, and I've already said a ton of things that are not a part of the sermon. But here's what I want you to understand. Sometimes the invitation to come, it happens so fast. Jesus didn't spend 45 minutes preaching to Peter before he called him to come out of the boat and to meet him in the water. Jesus simply says, come. And I want you to understand that, because there's times in your life where the Lord will speak an immediate word to you in the Word of God, and it'll be time for you to act. Jesus doesn't have to give 30-minute sermons to get people to this place where he calls them to action. He just does it immediately. Peter said, if it's you, call me. And Jesus, one word invitation, come. And so Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water and he came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. That's where we made the point. He doesn't try to run backwards and he doesn't try to swim on his own. He just cries out for Jesus, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and he took hold of him. And I want to say to you this morning, if you'll call out to the Lord, he'll reach out and take your hand. And he reached out and took hold of him, and he said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful that you allow us the Word of God to open it and to lay our souls bare before it. We confess this morning that it is true. In every part that is encouraging, Lord, we celebrate that it is true. And in every part, Lord, this morning that will convict us, we confess to you that it is true. And we pray that when we walk out of this building this morning, we'll be different, because the Word of God will have chiseled away at our lives, that it has set upon our hearts and our minds and our souls, and that we will do more than just be informed, but that we would be transformed by the power of your word. Oh Lord, would you bless us as we consider your word? We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to begin this morning by saying to you that distractions and doubt go hand in hand. Now, this whole series, this is the last message in the series, Redeeming Doubt. And I hope that it has blessed you as much as it has blessed me, preaching it and sharing it with you from week to week. And we've looked at people of God's in God's family that have struggled with doubt. We've looked at people in the New Testament. We've looked at people in the Old Testament. And here's what I want for us to understand about doubt this morning. Because Jesus confronts Peter's doubt. Peter cries out for him. Jesus reaches out, picks him up, and he rescues him. And the first thing he says, oh, you have little faith. Where is your doubt? Let me tell you something about doubt. Distraction and doubt go hand in hand. And so Peter finds himself distracted by this great wind. He gets out on the water. He is walking in that miracle. He is living the life with Jesus. He gets to where Jesus is, and then he turns and he gets distracted. He gets distracted by the wind. And all of a sudden, he starts to sink. Distraction and doubt go hand in hand. Here's why I'm saying that to you. Because the thing that has you distracted from the Lord this morning is the thing that will sink you next week. The thing in your life that is distracting you from being locked on with laser focus on the life and the will of God is going to be the thing that will sink you. Now, that's the principle that we see at play. It may not take till next week. It may be today. The thing that is distracting us is the thing that's going to put us under the waves. And here's what I want to say further about that. Waves and wind, those are not sinful things in and of themselves. You see, oftentimes we think in terms of these things that the Scripture is explicitly clear about, the things that the Scripture is black and white about. Those are the things that I need to avoid, because those things are going to sink me like Peter, and everything else is free game. I'm telling you, anything that distracts you from being laser focused on the Lord will sink you. Is the wind sinful? No. Is it a sin to have the wind on your skin? No. Is the wind evil and wicked in and of itself? No. But it distracted Peter and it started to sink him. And so I'm speaking a word of caution into your life this morning. Not because I'm in a bad mood and I want to bear down on you, because I love you. I want you to understand the thing that is distracting you today is the thing that will sink you tomorrow. Second thing I want you to understand about this passage is that it doesn't take much time or effort to get distracted. I mean, look at Peter's life. Now, I have no idea how far Jesus was when he called Peter out of the boat. I don't know if he was from here to the ledge and Peter just had to take two good steps and he was there, or if Jesus was the length of the platform and Peter had to take some good steps to get over here walking on this water to find where Jesus was. I don't know how long it took him to get there, but here's what I do know that this passage is telling us this morning. It doesn't take long to get distracted. It does not take much time or effort to get distracted. That's what the scripture is telling us this morning. That's why it is important to be connected to the Lord daily. You may have heard 100 sermons before on why it's important every single day of your life to have a daily time with the Lord Jesus, time in prayer, time in Bible study. You may be thinking to yourself, why do they work so hard to get me to spend time every single day with the Lord? Here's why, because it's easy to get distracted. This is also why it's important to be in a small group. You need to surround yourself with other believers. You need to surround yourself with people of God who can see your eyeballs when they divert away from the Lord and say, hey, over here, look back at the Lord. That's the importance of small groups. Yes, they're fun to hang out with. Yes, they're fun to laugh with. They're fun to tell jokes with. They're fun to talk about scripture with. But your small groups is a built-in accountability system. So it's important to have daily time with the Lord, but it's also important for small groups. This is another reason why us serving and laboring in the world of missions is important. This is another reason that a commitment to corporate worship is important, because all of these actions, all of these things serve us by keeping us focused on the Lord. Because Peter teaches us it doesn't take much time and it doesn't take much effort to get distracted. Now, this third thing that I want to tell you about the storms in life and Peter and Jesus and all about this passage. I want you to listen with your ears. I want you to listen with the ears of your heart. If your mind has ears, I want you to listen with the ears of your mind. I'm talking about, I want this to sink deep into your soul this morning. I want you to hear what I'm about to say to you from the scripture. We can do some amazing things when we really focus on Jesus. I want you to hear that. Some of you are thinking to yourself, why is it that I'm not being productive for the kingdom of God? Why do I feel like I'm sitting on the sideline when everybody's serving God and doing great things? Why do I feel like I'm not? It may be because you're not focused on the Lord. I want you to leave excited this morning, church family, about the amazing and awesome things that we can do when we're truly focused on Jesus. Look at Peter's thinking this morning. Do you understand what he was saying? Do you understand what he was thinking? This is what he was thinking. If that really is Jesus, I can walk on this water. Isn't that what he was thinking? He said to Jesus, if it really is you, then call me out of this boat onto that water to come to you. Here's what he's thinking. If that's Jesus, I can walk on this water. That's the type of life that I want to live. That's the type of faith in Christ that I want to have. That's the type of confidence in God that I want to have. If it really is the Lord close to me, then we can win 77089 to Christ. If it really is the Lord, there's not a nation on this planet that we can't get the gospel to. If it really is the Lord that is abiding with us as we pray and sing and worship and seek him, if it really is the Lord, there is nothing in the scripture that he's commanded us to do that we can't accomplish. That's the type of faith that I want to have. Personally, for me, as a follower of Christ, this is how I want to be. If that really is Jesus, then there is nothing that I cannot do that he would call me to do. Would you live with that type of ferocious courage? Now be careful. Because Peter said, if it's you, call me out of this boat. And what did the Lord do? He called him out of the boat. But these are things that excite the church. We can do amazing things if we stay focused on Jesus. I want for us to pivot a little bit and look at the wind. I want for us to think for a second about the wind. And I want you to think about the function of the wind in this story. Specifically, that the wind seems to be representing either danger or distraction or both. Because in life, danger and distraction both can produce doubt in our lives. And I want to say some things specifically about the way that we see the wind in this scripture. And then I want for us to think about how that applies to our own life. The first thing that I want you to see about the wind in the scripture is that it was blowing all around Peter while he was having his experience with Jesus. The wind was present even during Peter's amazing, powerful, life-changing experience with the Lord. This means that we can be near to Jesus. This means that we can experience an incredible interaction with Jesus. This means that we can literally be walking in a miracle and still the wind can be blowing all over the place. Have you ever been at the place in your life where you thought to yourself that the presence of difficult circumstances must mean that you're out of the will of God? On the contrary, my friend, Peter is dead in the center of the will of God, and the wind is still blowing all over the place. The wind was present even while Peter was having this incredible experience with Jesus. And I would submit to you that we're no different. Isn't that true? Isn't it true that you experience the Lord in a unique way in your daily times with God? And you, maybe you're in your prayer closet, or maybe you're in your study, or maybe you get to work just a little bit early and you're reading the scripture and you're praying, and it is an amazing time with the Lord, and you're being blessed, you're growing closer to the Lord, and you finish up and you say, Lord, thank you just for being so close to me. Thank you for loving me. Maybe you sing a hymn, maybe you sing one of these songs that we've been singing. You say, Lord, I'm going to go out here and I'm going to live for you. I'm going to share the gospel with people. I'm going to win people to Christ. Lord, thank you for just such a great and rich and glorious and holy time that you've met with me. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And you open your eyes and close your Bible, and it feels like 20 people have lined up to tell you their problems. Has that ever happened to you before? The wind keeps blowing even when we are having experiences with the Lord. The question is, which one are you going to choose to focus on this week? Are you going to stay locked in on Jesus? Or are you going to do like Peter and turn and get distracted by the wind? Which is my second point. Peter saw the wind. The wind was present with him while he was experiencing Jesus. And then the scripture says, go back with me if you would and look in the scripture. In verse 30 it says, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Now, I don't know that I have ever seen wind. I have felt the effects of it. I've seen the effects of it. But when we look at the scripture and it says he saw the wind, what the scripture's saying is he saw what the wind was kicking up all around him. You see, he diverted his attention away from the Lord, and he saw what the storm was producing around him. The third thing I want to say about the wind is that Peter became afraid. Think about this for a second. Here's a man who was living in the middle of a miracle. Here's a man who had just been on the boat. He had recently been terrified because of these actions of Jesus. And he's saying to himself, Jesus, is that really you? If it really is you, and we've been in this place in life where we're saying, God, are you the one that's really doing this? Jesus, if this is really you, call me out of the boat. So he calls him out of the boat. Peter steps out of the boat. He's literally walking in a miracle. He gets to Jesus. He is close enough to Jesus to touch. He's close enough to Jesus to hear him whisper. And the scripture says that when he looked at the wind, he was still afraid. I got to tell you, if Peter, who is walking in a miracle, and is so close to Jesus that he could reach out and grab him, still struggles with fear. You know what that tells me? That we all are going to continue to struggle with fear. The question is, what will we do when it presents itself? And I want to think to myself that I would be tough. I want to think to myself that I would be a man of incredible faith, that if I was walking in a miracle and I was close enough to Jesus to touch him, that if a little wind was blowing around me, it wouldn't bother me, but it did Peter. And while I'm at it, I'm reminded that I am walking in a miracle. Because every day that God gives me is a miraculous day. That he's given me life, and he's given me purpose, and he's given me direction, and he's given me a calling. And for you as well. And so we look and say, but if I was walking in a miracle, I wouldn't struggle with fear like Peter. You are walking in a miracle. You are. We all are. So why do we look at the wind? Here's what I really wanted to get to this morning. Why do we stop focusing on Jesus and turn our attention away and look at the wind? Again, remember, the wind are the distractions in life. The wind are the things around us that are threatening us, that are presenting themselves as threats to us, dangerous things, things that if we focus on, they're going to fill us up with fear. They're going to fill us up with doubt. They're going to fill us up with anxiety. They're going to tell us that we can't stay in the miracle where we are. We've got to go do something different. Why is it that we tend to focus on the storm instead of focusing on the Lord? That's the question that I really want for us to get to this morning, and I want to answer it with four reasons. The first one is going to seem really strange and weird, but I want you to hear me out. The first one is that we complete a spiritual goal. I believe that one of the most natural and one of the most important times where we have to guard ourselves against being distracted from the Lord is when we achieve a spiritual goal. You may have a spiritual goal of sharing the gospel with five people this week. I want to challenge you to meet your goal, but I want to warn you to be careful. When you hit your spiritual goal, when you get to that high, that mountaintop experience where you say, me and God, we did it. You are so tempted to get distracted. Look at this play out in the life of Peter. Think about what just happened in the scripture. Peter said, if it is you, call me out of the boat. Jesus responds and says, come on. Peter gets out of the boat. He doesn't sink. He's standing on the water. So he starts his journey. And he goes all the way to Jesus. And then the scripture says, then he sees the wind. He completed his spiritual goal. Now, we don't know why he looked at the wind. We don't know why he saw it. We don't know if he got to Jesus and it was like, man, job well done. Let me just turn around and see what life looks like standing on the water. Whoa, that's a lot of wind. We don't know how it is, but we just know at some point after he got to Jesus, his focus pivoted away from God and he put it on the wind. So I would suggest to you that putting goals down for spiritual growth is incredibly important, but please beware that when you hit them, you're tempted to turn around and get distracted. A second reason that we look at the wind is because of boredom. Because of boredom. Can you imagine Peter stopping halfway and saying to himself, this is pretty boring, this walking on water stuff. I think I'm just going to go back to the boat. Absolutely not. But how many people have you encountered in your life? Or how many times have you gone through this struggling season where you look at the Christian faith and you say, I got to be honest, this is starting to get a little boring. This showing up for church stuff is starting to get a little boring. This trying to read my Bible every day is getting a little boring. This sense of obligation that I have to pray every day is getting a little boring. This sense that I'm going to fund the mission of the church with my finances and resources is a little boring and a little offensive. And sometimes we get bored with the journey and we turn and we look at the wind. And my goodness, how many people have been distracted by that. Here is my suggestion to you. Whether you're 93 or you're in junior high or you're in elementary school, or you're somewhere in between, let me suggest this to you. If walking the Christian faith ever becomes boring to you, it's because you're not doing it right. Because the Christian faith is anything but boring. If you will read the Gospels, you will discover that not a single one of the disciples were bored. Oftentimes, they were amazed. They were confused. They didn't know what to think of Jesus. There were many things that they were, but bored is not one of them. And so one of the reasons that we focus away from God and put it on the wind in our lives is because of boredom. Sometimes it's because we've completed our spiritual goals. Sometimes it's because of boredom. Sometimes it's because of volume. Because the thing that is loudest in our life gets our attention. That's why when a preacher is preaching and a baby starts crying, he just talks louder. He just gets louder. And I love when children are in here. And I don't even mind them crying for 5 minutes. But at 7, I mean, come on, you know? But isn't it true that the thing that's loudest in your life wins, gets your attention? That's why if you have more than one child, and one comes up to you and starts talking, and another one comes and starts talking a little bit louder, and then this one gets a little bit louder, and this one gets, and pretty soon you're wondering, why are y'all yelling? They're competing for your attention. You see, there's things in our lives that get so loud. They're screaming for our attention, and it's so easy to give our attention to the things that are loud, and we forget to focus on the Lord. Let me ask you the question. What is screaming for your attention in your life that is causing you to take your focus off of the Lord? You better deal with it today, because if you don't, it will sink you. Volume. The loud things in our life. The last one is rebellion. Some of us, even in this room, are just living in rebellion. And you'd rather turn and chase the wind than to stay connected to Jesus. And there are people who may not say this out loud, but I can assure you are in this room that actually feel this way. I would rather sink than to cry out to Jesus to save my life. And I can promise you, my friend, that you will sink if you do not cry out to Jesus Christ. And so some of these reasons are innocent enough, right? Some of these are, I hit my spiritual goal and I just turn and I get distracted. Some of them are a lot more serious, rebellion. But here's the thing, they all produce the same thing, which is distraction. And I want to encourage you this morning. I want you to walk out of here with an inspired heart, with an encouraged mind. I want you to know that if you will choose to stay locked in on the Lord, you will do great things for Him. But when you walk out into that miracle, one moment of distraction can cause you to start sinking. I'm asking you this morning to make the choice to stay focused on the Lord. Families, I'm challenging you to stay focused on the Lord. Fathers, mothers, children, stay focused on the Lord. Singles, stay focused on the Lord. I want to close this morning by asking you, which of Peter's spiritual steps are you on? I'm going to list three. I'm going to ask you to pick one. I'm going to ask you to make a choice this morning. I want you to decide this morning where you stand with the Lord. Now, the first step is that I need to get out of the boat and I need to go to Jesus. And that might be where some of you are. Some of you have been speaking to the Lord. You know, Peter talked to the Lord before he got out of the boat. Did you notice that? And some of you are talking to the Lord right now. Some of you are saying to the Lord, Lord, if it really is you, talk to me. Speak to me, Lord. Give me a sign. Show me that you're real. Do something tangible in my life so that I know that it is you, so that I can get out and be radical with my life and following you. Some of you this morning, that is your step, to get out of the boat and walk to Jesus. If you've never done that before, please do that. Please get to the place in your life where you say, I want to live my life with the Lord. I want to walk with Jesus. I don't care I don't care what's back in the boat. I want to get out of the boat and I want to live with the Lord. I want my life to count with the Lord. I want the Lord to forgive my sins. I want the Lord to place a calling on my life. I want the Lord to give me peace. I want the Lord to give me meaning in my life. I want to get out of this boat and walk to the Lord. Another option is that you need to cry out to Jesus. Because while there are some people who are here that need to get out of the boat and walk to Jesus, the reality is there's a lot of people who've already done that in this room. And you've walked out there to Jesus, and you've experienced him, and you've been close to him, and you've walked in that miracle, but you have turned. You've become distracted, and you're in the process of sinking. Now, some of you are sinking really fast, and some of you, inch by inch, you're starting to sink. And so some of you this morning need to get out of the boat and come to Jesus. Some of you are there. You need to cry out to Jesus because you've discovered in your life you're starting to sink. The third spiritual step is the step of worship. Some of you have experienced these first two steps. You've gotten out of the boat. You've walked on the water. You've found Jesus. And you've started to sink and you've cried out to Jesus again. And you are back to safety. And all that there's left for you to do is to just thank him. And to worship him. And to seek him. And to sing to him. And to say, surely you are the Son of God. Surely you're the one that delivers. Surely you're the one that saves.